Hello, this is Micah from the Two LDS Archives. As with always, the videos, Word document, paper was found on the website for free. You can go there without any ads or anything. Download it for free. You don't have to listen to any of this video if you don't want to. And there it is. This video, Seven Seal 2000, the year 2000, to be or not to be. I'll try to talk a little bit faster in this video because this has got a lot of content. First of all, before I begin, I would just like to say that in front of some of my videos, or at the beginning of some of my videos, I've identified the videos as being important. Some of them being what I believe to be the most important works I have done. That being said, this one is one of the most insignificant endeavors and pointless struggles for the Saints to grasp in the last couple years. One side believes that without revelation from the Lord to the prophets and without the prophet telling the people, the seventh seal has been opened, and because it has been opened, the things that were supposed to happen during the sixth seal, which haven't happened, are either figurative, false prophecies, or will yet be fulfilled for some reason now during the seventh seal. Those that believe that the seventh seal hasn't been opened in the year 2000, or other, 2016, pick a date, believe so because the revelations thus was not received by the prophet and taught to the people. The events that were supposed to happen during the sixth seal haven't happened yet, and they believe that every jot and tittle of the word needs to be fulfilled, including but not limited to Amos chapter 3, verse 7, which states, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophets," end quote. On its face value, the fact that we're even having this discussion as saints and treating it as legitimate is ludicrous. Let me summarize these two sides again for you clearly and slowly. The seven sealers believe that the prophet of God never received the revelation and told the people, or that the prophet of God received the revelation but hid it from the people. Both of these ideas are sectarian or Catholic notions of how the church and priesthood run, not how the keys of the kingdom work. The prophet of God would never receive revelation pertinent to the edification and salvation of the world and then be told not to tell them. Not only is there not a single recorded case of that happening in Scripture, but prophets were commanded to, at great risk to themselves, even to their demise, speak the words that had been given to them. They then, on top of this conjecture, that events that have been talked about in great detail by old prophets and modern prophets and apostles alike have been exaggerated, or that they are figurative. Joseph Smith himself talked about this and said, quote, "People will be damned for not believing enough. I've never heard of a man being damned for believing too much," end quote. By virtue of this belief, you believe that not everything said by the prophets and apostles, old and new, when moved upon by the Holy Ghost, will be fulfilled, every jot and tittle. And thus you make the claim that either directly or indirectly, these men were liars. This group, these seven sealers, because of this, will almost entirely neglect to speak about these events that were supposed to happen during the sixth seal. The six sealers believe that for something as monumental as the seventh seal being opened, the prophets would be told and the members informed. They also believe that the events that have been talked about for millennia that were to happen in the sixth seal will happen. They also believe that the sign of the seventh seal being opened, i.e. the sign of the Son of Man, i.e. in the words of Joseph Smith, people will look at this sign and say, it's a planet, it's a comet. They also believe that will occur when the seventh seal is opened. Once again, on its face, the difference between these two groups couldn't be more different than that of the Nephites and the Lamanites. If you can't tell which group is chaff and which group is wheat, well, enjoy your chaff sandwich. If, however, you want a comprehensive collection of the events which are to take place in the sixth seal, okay, for personal edification, or so that you can use this video to counter seventh sealers, please continue on. But please, please, don't start 5 minutes into the video and then say, eh, I don't want to watch the rest, but we're still in the seventh seal. No, no. Go plow a field, because that's not what you get to do, okay? You get to listen to this, and then after listening to the words of God, if you still believe in the seventh seal, fine, let's have a talk, because we need to have a talk. But if you sit through all this, everything will be made crystal clear, okay? On the LDS Church website, it lists events that are to take place during the sixth seal, and what events are to take place during the seventh seal. This is a good place to start. In deceptively edited fashion, now famous YouTube videos, plural, have chopped out sections of the sixth seal that were supposed to happen, making it look like to their audiences as though everything in the sixth seal had already happened. They then, continuing this deceptive behavior, deceptively edited the seventh seal title with bits of the sixth seal above it, without the sixth seal label on them, making it look like the bits of the sixth seal above are actually describing the seventh seal events below. The Lord and the church make it very clear what the events are that need to take place during the sixth seal before the opening of the seventh seal or period of time. Doctrine and Covenants 77, verse 7. Question: what are we to understand by the seven seals with which it was sealed? Answer: we are to understand that the first seal contains the things of the first 1,000 years, the second also of the second 1,000 years, and so on until the seventh. This is what the dispute is all about. Which seal contains what things that need to happen, and thus what seal we are currently in. Continuing in Doctrine and Covenants 77, this time verse 9. Question: what are we to understand by the angel ascending from the east? Revelation chapter 7th chapter and 2nd verse. Answer: we are to understand that the angel ascending from the east is he to whom is given the seal of the living God over the 12 tribes of Israel. Wherefore he crieth unto the four angels having the everlasting gospel, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was to come to gather together the tribes of Israel and restore all things. In the DNC LDS manual, we read, what is the significance of the angel from the east sealing the servants of God? The four angels who are given power over the earth are kept from sending forth desolations upon the earth until God's servants are sealed in their foreheads. The prophet Joseph Smith taught that the sealing signifies sealing the blessings upon their heads, meaning the everlasting covenant, thereby making their calling and election sure. Elder Orson Pratt gave this additional explanation. When the temple is built in the New Jerusalem, the sons of the two priesthoods, Melchizedek and Aaronic, will enter into that temple, and all of them who are pure in heart will behold the face of the Lord, and that too before he comes in his glory in the clouds of heaven. That is referred to as the great and dreadful day. For he will suddenly come to his temple, and he will purify the sons of Moses and Aaron until they shall be prepared to offer in that temple, not another temple, that temple, an offering that shall be acceptable in the sight of the Lord. In doing this, he will purify not only the minds of the priesthood in that temple, but he will purify their bodies until they shall be quickened and renewed and strengthened, and they will be partially changed, not to immortality, but changed in part, that they can be filled with the power of God, and they can stand in the presence of Jesus and behold his face in the midst of the temple. Continuing in the DNC manual, this will prepare them for further ministrations among the nations of the earth. It will prepare them to go forth in the days of tribulation and vengeance upon the nations of the wicked, when God will smite them with pestilence, plague, earthquake, such as former generations never knew. That's important. Then the servants of God will need to be armed with the power of God. They will need to have that sealing blessing pronounced upon their foreheads, that they can stand forth in the midst of those desolations and plagues and not be overcome by them. When John the Revelator describes this scene, he says he saw four angels sent forth, ready to hold the four winds that should blow from the four quarters of heaven. Another angel ascended from the east and cried to the four angels and said, "Smite not the earth now, but wait a little while." How long? Until the servants of God are sealed in their foreheads. What for? To prepare them to stand forth in the midst of these desolations and plagues and not be overcome. When they are prepared, when they have received a renewal of their bodies in the Lord's temple and have been filled with the Holy Ghost and purified as gold and silver in a furnace of fire, then they will be prepared to stand before the nations of the earth and preach glad tidings of salvation in the midst of judgments that are to come like a whirlwind upon the wicked. End of the quote from the DNC manual. What do we learn from this? We learn that the New Jerusalem in Jackson County has to be built. We learn that the sons of Moses will be there. This is a reference to the 10 tribes. And that the Lord will appear to that temple in New Jerusalem. They, the 144,000, will then be translated and have their calling and elections made sure, if it hasn't already happened. They will then go among the nations of the earth in the days of tribulation and vengeance, a day in which pestilence, plague, and earthquake, such as former generations never knew, is taking place. So think of the worst days of plague and pestilence and earthquakes that you can think of. And God's saying that the days of tribulation will be worse than that. So if you're thinking the days of tribulation started in 2017, I think you're wrong. The 144,000 will stand before the nations of the earth. So we know that this is not happened in. So we know this is not happening in secret, because it says before the nations of the earth. So this isn't something that's happening just, you know, behind the curtain, if you will. Continuing in Revelation chapter 77 in Doctrine and Covenants. Sorry, not Revelation. DNC 77, talking about Revelations. Question. What time are the things spoken of in this chapter to be accomplished? Answer. They are to be accomplished in the 6,000 years or the opening of the sixth seal. What is the chapter that this verse is referring to? On the LDS Scriptures website, in case you're confused, clicking on this chapter takes you to Revelation 7. Thus, if you didn't know this, right, if you didn't know this already, you can figure this out really easily. We can clearly identify chapter 7 of Revelation as occurring in the sixth seal. The chapter subheading of Revelation chapter 7 includes, quote, the sealing of the 144,000, end quote. Which is exactly what the quote from Orson Pratt was discussing that I just read in the previous section. Verse 10 in Revelation chapter 7 mistakenly gets identified as a random temple or any temple, right? So some people think this is the, Palmyra, New York temple. But that's not what this temple is. This is the temple which Orson Pratt identified. It is the temple in New Jerusalem that is to be one of the two world capitals. That's why it's not just the house of the Lord. This is referred to as a throne. We then learn in Revelation chapter 7, verse 13 to 17, that those of the 144,000, as well as the innumerable host, were made up of those, quote, which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, end quote. We learn here that the years of tribulation are what purify the group and get them ready. Therefore, we know that the years of tribulation either occur entirely in the sixth seal, or at the very least, transition between the sixth and seventh seal. Those that believe that the seventh seal opened in the year 2000, but yet the years of tribulation started later, like in 2017, are either idiotic, or they believe that saints from 2017 to 2024 are going to time travel back to the year 2000. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints website, with the overview of the sixth seal, makes this crystal clear. 144,000 sealed. Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 through 8. A scene shows that angels are held back from sending further judgments until 144,000 high priests can be sealed and called to administer the everlasting gospel. That's the first section. The second section, rewards for those who endured the tribulations. So the tribulations occur in the sixth seal. Okay, interesting. A heavenly scene before the throne. John sees that a great multitude, which no man could number, will obtain the rewards of the faithful through righteously enduring the days of tribulation. The last thing to unpack in Revelation chapter 7 is the calling and sealing of the 144,000. 12,000 from each of the tribes, 12,000 from Judah, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Nephilim, woo, etc., etc. All of a sudden, I can't say that word. I'm talking too fast. Who are these 144,000? How will they be called? Who will they be called from? Elder Lund, who was a 70, explained, quote, the prophet Joseph Smith clearly indicates that the 12,000 sealed from each of the 12 tribes is not just a symbolic representation of the forces of righteousness, as some scholars maintain. They are a great missionary force of the sixth seal. Joseph Smith shows us that they are ordained high priests chosen from among every nation to carry forth the gospel and bring as many as will come to the true church. In another revelation, the prophet indicated that these 144,000 would also stand upon Mount Zion with the Savior. The prophet also said, shortly before his death, I attended prayer meeting with the quorum in the assembly room and made some remarks respecting the 144,000 mentioned by John the Revelator, showing that the section of persons to form that specific number, had already commenced. This statement would seem to indicate that this great body of missionaries may be composed of mortals and immortals together. That's the end quote from the 70 Lund. The doctrine, this is me speaking again, the doctrine from the prophets of God, apostles, and 70s is crystal clear. There is to be an exact number called from each of the tribes. One must journey into the realm of keyless and thus godless interpretations of worldly men and quote-unquote scholars before one finds any deviation from this sound doctrine. Back to Doctrine and Covenants, chapter 77, verse 11, question. What are we to understand by sealing the 144,000 out of all the tribes of Israel? 12,000 out of every tribe. Answer, we are to understand that those who are sealed are high priests, ordained out of the holy order of God, to administer the everlasting gospel, for they are they who are ordained out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people by the angels, to whom is given power over the nations of the earth to bring as many as will come to the church of the firstborn. Joseph Smith didn't even ask if the number was figurative. Such a claim is ludicrous. The New Testament manual explains, Revelation chapter 7, 4 to 8, the 144,000. In Doctrine and Covenants 77, 11, the Lord explained to Joseph Smith that the number 144,000 mentioned in Revelation 7, 4 through 8 is the number of representatives out of the 12 tribes of Israel who will be ordained to assist others in their quest for exaltation. It is not, as some people believe, the total number of people who will be exalted. The church of the firstborn, that refers to those who will be exalted and become joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So, the 144,000 are to the church of the firstborn as missionaries are to the church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Let that sink in. Doctrine and Covenants, chapter 77, verse 11. Who are the 144,000? DNC manual. So this is the DNC manual. Before the Lord shall come, there is to be a great work among the nations. The 10 tribes will have to come forth. Interesting. And come to this land. Interesting. To be crowned with glory in the midst of Zion. By the hands of the servants of God, even the children of Ephraim. And 12,000 high priests will be elected from each of these 10 tribes. As well as from the scattered tribes and sealed in their foreheads and will be ordained and receive power to gather out of all the nations, kindreds, tongues, and people as many as will come into the general assemblage of the church of the firstborn. Okay, so the 10 tribes return has to happen in the sixth seal? Who are they? How do they come back? Okay, Doctrine and Covenants 133. And they who are in the north country shall come in remembrance before the Lord, and the prophets shall hear his voice, and shall no longer stay themselves, and they shall smite the rocks, and the ice flow down at their presence, and an highway shall be cast up in the midst of the great deep. Their enemies shall become a prey unto them, and in the barren deserts there shall come forth pools of living water, and the parched ground shall no longer be thirsty land. And they shall bring forth their rich treasures unto the children of Ephraim, my servants. And the boundaries of the everlasting hills shall tremble at their presence, and there shall they fall down and be crowned with glory, even in Zion, by the hands of the servants of the Lord, even the children of Ephraim. DNC 133, 26 through 34, the manual, this is the LDS manuals, as I'm doing with all of these. These aren't my words. What do the saints know about the 10 lost tribes of Israel? Elder Bruce R. McConkie wrote, when Shalmaneser overran the kingdom of Israel, which occurred in about 721 BC, he carried the 10 tribes comprising the kingdom captive into Assyria. From thence they were led into the lands of the north and have been called the lost tribes because they are lost to the knowledge of other people. We have no knowledge of the location or condition of that part of the 10 tribes who went into the north country. Oh, interesting. So, you know, they're still lost. Okay. Esdras, an apocryphal writer, records this version of their escape from Assyria. Those are the 10 tribes which were carried away prisoner out of their own land in the time of Hosea the king, whom Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria, led away captive, and he carried them over the waters, and so came they into another land. But they took this counsel among themselves, that they would leave the multitude of the heathen and go forth into a further country where never mankind dwelt, that they might there keep their statutes which they never kept in their own land. And they entered into Euphrates by the narrow passage of the river, for the Most High then shewed signs for them and held still the flood till they all were passed over. For through that country there was a great way to go, namely of a year and a half, and the same region is called Arsareth. Then dwell they there until the latter times. And now, when they shall begin to come, the highest shall stay the stream again, that they may go through. Commenting on this, Elder George Reynolds has written, "It is altogether improbable that in that long journey of 1.5 years, as Ezra states it, from the Media, the land of their captivity, to the frozen north, some of the backsliding Israel rebelled, turned aside from the main body, forgot their God by and by, mingled with the Gentiles, and became the leaven to leaven with the promised seed, all the nations of the earth." The account given in the Book of Mormon of a single family of the same house, its waywardness, its stiff-neckedness before God, its eternal internal quarrels and family feuds are, we fear, an example on a small scale of what most probably happened in the vast bodies of Israelites who, for so many months, wended their tedious way northward. The lost tribes are not lost unto the Lord. In their northward journeyings, they were led by prophets and inspired leaders. They had their Moseses there, and their Lehi were guided by the spirit of revelation. They kept the law of Moses and carried with them the statutes and judgments which the Lord had given them in ages past. They were still a distinct people many hundreds of years later, for the resurrected Lord visited and ministered among them following his ministry on this continent among the Nephites. Obviously, he taught them in the same way and gave them the same truths which he gave his followers in Jerusalem and on the American continent. And obviously, they recorded his teachings, thus creating volumes of scripture comparable to the Bible and the Book of Mormon. In due course, the lost tribes of Israel will return, and come to the children of Ephraim to receive their blessings. This great gathering will take place under the direction of the president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, for he holds the keys. Keys are the right of presidency, the power to direct, and by this power, the lost tribes will return with their prophets and their scriptures to be crowned with glory even in Zion by the hands of the servants of the Lord, even the children of Ephraim. At the October 1916 General Conference of the Church, James E. Talmage made this prediction. The tribes shall come. They are not lost unto the Lord. They shall be brought forth as hath been predicted. And I say unto you, there are those now living, aye, some here present, who shall live to read the records of the lost tribes of Israel, which shall be made one with the record of the Jews or the Holy Bible and the record of the Nephites or the Book of Mormon, even as the Lord has predicted. And those records which the tribes lost to man, but yet to be found again, shall tell of the visit of the resurrected Christ to them, after he had manifested himself to the Nephites upon this continent. Doctrine and Covenants 133:27 from the manual, another part of it. What is the highway that shall be cast up in the midst of the great deep? The great deep means the ocean or a body of water. The scriptures do not explain how a highway will be cast up in the midst of the deep for the 10 lost tribes to come to Zion. But the language of this prophecy is related to the account of how Moses parted the Red Sea with Pharaoh and his army at their backs and the Red Sea in front of them. Israel had come to an impasse. Then a miracle took place. A highway was cast up in the midst of the deep, and Israel crossed over on dry ground. Jeremiah chapter 16, verses 14 through 15. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, and from all the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Orson Pratt, Journal of Discourses, 18:4. How long will they who come from the north countries tarry in the heights of Zion? Some time. They've got to raise wheat, cultivate the grape, wine, and oil, raise flocks and herds, and their souls will have to become as a watered garden. They will dwell in Zion a good while. And during that time, there will be 12,000 chosen out of each of these 10 tribes. Besides 12,000 that will be chosen from Judah, Joseph, and the remaining tribes, 144,000 in all. Chosen for what? To be sealed in their foreheads. For what purpose? So that the power of death and pestilence and plague that will go forth in those days, sweeping over the nations of the earth, will have no power over them. These parties who are sealed in their foreheads will go forth among all people, nations, and tongues, and gather up and hunt out of the house of Israel, whether they are scattered, and bring as many as they possibly can into the church of the firstborn, preparatory to the great day of the coming of the Lord. 144,000 missionaries, quite a host. All this has got to take place. There are persons in this congregation who will be in the midst of Zion when the 10 tribes come to Zion from the north countries, and will assist in bestowing the blessings promised by the Almighty upon their heads of the tribes of Israel. There are servants of God in the midst of this congregation who will lay their hands upon many of each of these 12,000 chosen out of the 10 tribes, and set them apart as missionaries to visit the nations of the earth and hunt up the remnants of the seed of Jacob. Having spoken concerning the gathering of the 10 tribes, I will refer again to their prophets. Their prophets shall hear his voice. Do not think that we are the only people who will have prophets. God is determined to raise up prophets among that people, but he will not bestow upon them all the fullness of the blessings of the priesthood. The fullness will be reserved to be given to them after they come to Zion. But prophets will be among them while in the north, and a portion of the priesthood will be there, and John the Revelator will be there, teaching, instructing, and preparing them for this great work. For to him were given the keys for the gathering of Israel at the time when he ate that little book while on the Isle of Patmos. At that time, John was a very old man, but the Lord told him that he must yet prophesy before many kindreds and nations and people and tongues, and he has got that mission to perform. And in the last days, the spirit and power of Elias will attend his administrations among these 10 tribes, and he will assist in preparing them to return to this land.
Wait.
The heights of Zion, New Jerusalem, has to be built in the sixth seal? Because the 10 tribes will be living in it while they are being perfected and chosen for the 144,000? Well, look at this. This is a little visual that you'll find in the manual for the New Testament. And draw your little eyes up to number 6 up there in the top left. Oh, wow, looky there. It says in the sixth seal that New Jerusalem and Zion has to be built. So when will New Jerusalem be built? When will Zion be redeemed? When will the 10 tribes return? Now, if only we had a book of scripture written for our day that had the answers to these questions. Oh, wait. We do, you say. Oh, all right. Esther 13, verses 3 through 8. And that it was the place of the New Jerusalem which should come down out of heaven, and the holy sanctuary of the Lord. Behold, Esther saw the days of Christ, and he spake concerning a New Jerusalem upon this land. And he spake also concerning the house of Israel and the Jerusalem from whence Lehi should come. After it should be destroyed, it should be built up again. A holy city unto the Lord. Wherefore, it could not be a New Jerusalem, for it had been in a time of old. But it should be built up again, and become a holy city of the Lord, and it should be built unto the house of Israel. And that a New Jerusalem should be built up upon this land, unto the remnant of the seed of Joseph, for which things there has been a type. Interesting. For as Joseph brought his father down into the land of Egypt, even so he died there. Wherefore, the Lord brought a remnant of the seed of Joseph out of the land of Jerusalem, that he might be merciful unto the seed of Joseph, that they should perish not, even as he was merciful unto the father of Joseph, that he should perish not. Wherefore, the remnant of the house of Joseph shall be built upon this land, and it shall be a land of their inheritance, and they shall build up a holy city unto the Lord, like unto the Jerusalem of old, and they shall no more be confounded until the end come, when the earth shall pass away. Okay, so let me get this straight. Joseph being sold into Egypt was a type of things to come, dealing with the time period directly before the building of New Jerusalem and before the building of New Jerusalem and the building of New Jerusalem itself. Directly before the building of New Jerusalem and the building of New Jerusalem itself. Apologies. So what happened in the story of Joseph? Joseph was in a foreign land and was told there would be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine or tribulation. 2 years into the 7 years of tribulation, Joseph's brothers joined him in the foreign land and stayed there for the remainder of the 7 years of tribulation. So there is to be 7 years of tribulation. 2 years into the 10 tribes return as a body. Those are Joseph's brothers, which are the 10 tribes. And they collectively build New Jerusalem and remain there for at least the remainder of the 7 years of tribulation. So, if the years of tribulation started, let's say, in 2017, the 10 tribes should have returned in 2019. That didn't happen. The next question to answer would be, how does the redemption of Zion take place? D&C 103:11-21, but verily I say unto you, I have decreed that your brethren, which have been scattered, shall return to the lands of their inheritance, and shall build up the waste places of Zion. For after much tribulation, as I have said unto you in a former commandment, cometh the blessing. Behold, this is the blessings which I have promised after your tribulations, and the tribulations of your brethren, your redemption, and the redemption of your brethren, even their restoration to the lands of land of Zion, to be established, no more to be thrown down. Nevertheless, if they pollute their inheritance, they shall be thrown down, for I will not spare them if they pollute their inheritances. This is the 10 virgins. Behold, I say unto you, the redemption of Zion must needs come by power. Therefore, I will raise up unto my people a man who will lead them like as Moses led the children of Israel. For ye are the children of Israel, and of the seed of Abraham, and ye must needs be led out of bondage by power, and with a stretched out arm. And as your fathers were led at the first, even so shall the redemption of Zion be. Therefore, let not your hearts faint, for I say not unto you, as I said unto your fathers, mine angel shall go up before you, but not my presence. But I say unto you, my angel shall go up before you, and also my presence, and in time ye shall possess the goodly land. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that my servant Joseph Smith, Jr., is the man to whom I liken the servant, to whom the Lord of the vineyard spake, in the parable which I have given unto you. D&C 103:20, this is from the manual. Zion was not to be redeemed in 1834. President Joseph Ewing Smith explained the implications of the phrase in time. Quote, it appears from this declaration that the redemption of Zion was not to come immediately, but was to be postponed to some future day. Moreover, that day would not come until the members of the church were willing to keep their covenants and walk unitedly. For until the members of the church learn to walk in full accord and obedience with all of the commandments, this day cannot come. It may be necessary in order to bring this to pass, for the Lord to use drastic measures and cleanse the church from everything that offends. This he has promised to do when he is ready to redeem Zion. So, Zion can't be redeemed until after the restitution of all things, which we know includes the law of consecration as well as the law of plural marriage. This begins the cleansing of the church, or in the words of President Nelson recently, quote, "The time is coming when those who do not obey the Lord will be separated from those who do," end quote. Apparently President Nelson is confused, however, because apparently this event, according to Seven Sealer, occurred before the year 2000. DNC 103:11-14, will the Saints actually return to build Zion in Jackson County? This is from the manual. Verses 11 through 14 state that the Lord intended to restore his people to their lands, and that they would no more be thrown down. It is also clear, however, that this restoration would not happen until after much tribulation. The Lord warned the saints in Doctrine and Covenants 103 that even though he had promised they could return to the land of Zion, if they polluted their inheritances through sin, they would lose the Lord's support and be thrown down. Since this revelation was given, many leaders of the church have discussed the future return to Jackson County, Missouri. Elder Orson F. Whitney said, "Will our mission end here in Utah? Is the state of Utah the proper monument of the Mormon people? No, the monument to Mormonism will stand in Jackson County, Missouri. There the great city will be built. There Zion will arise and shine, the joy of the whole earth, and there the Lord will come to his temple in his own time, when his people shall have made the required preparations." President Joseph Fielding Smith taught that the center place where the city New Jerusalem is to be built is in Jackson County, Missouri. It was never the intention to substitute Utah or any other place for Jackson County. President Brigham Young said, "Are we going back to Jackson County? Yes. When? As soon as the way opens up. Are we all going? Oh no. Of course not. The country is not large enough to hold our present numbers." He also said that a portion of the priesthood will go and redeem and build up the center stake of Zion. For other scriptural statements concerning the redemption of Zion, see Doctrine and Covenants 103:15-20. Enrichment B, yada, 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 in the Doctrine and Covenants section. So, that's the ending of the manual. The redemption of Zion does not begin until the years of tribulation have already started. The Lord here says it will happen after much tribulation. He does not say after all the tribulation, however. Is also made clear here that Jackson County will not be replaced by Salt Lake City or Palmyra, New York, or by any other location. Doctrine and Covenants in the back of the manual, 103:15-20, the Lord's people will redeem Zion through his power. Doctrine and Covenants 103:15-20 clearly teaches that Zion will not be redeemed by human strength alone. The Lord said that the redemption of modern Zion will resemble the deliverance of ancient Israel from Egypt. The biblical account described how the Lord attended Israel in a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. In 1873, Elder Orson Pratt taught that the return to Jackson County may be accompanied by similar manifestations. "I expect that when the Lord leads forth his people to build up the city of Zion, his presence will be visible. When we speak of the presence of the Lord, we speak of an exhibition of power. We shall go back to Jackson County. Not that all this people will leave these mountains or be gathered together in a camp, but when we go back, there will be a very large organization consisting of thousands and tens of thousands, and they will march forward, the glory of God overshadowing their camp by day in the form of a cloud and a pillar of flaming fire by night. The Lord's voice will be being uttered forth before his army. Such a period will come in the history of this people. And his people will go forth and build up Zion according to celestial law. Will not this produce terror upon the nations of the earth? Will not the armies of this description, though they may not be as numerous as the armies of the world, cause a terror to fall upon the nations? The Lord says the banners of Zion shall be terrible. When the Lord's presence is there, when his voice is heard and the angels go before the camp, it will be telegraphed to the utmost parts of the earth, and fear will seize upon all people, especially the wicked. And the knees of the ungodly will tremble in that day. And the high ones that are on high, and the great men of the earth, this great army of the Lord will not be like the armies of the world. They will not take possession of the land of Zion by force, but will go forth under the protection and guidance of the Almighty God to take possession of that which will rightfully be theirs by purchase. The prophet Joseph Smith recorded that his scribe saw in a vision the armies of heaven protecting the saints in their return to Zion. The Lord knows in advance what is in store for the saints. President Brigham Young noted, "Before we were driven out of Missouri, I had a vision and saw that the people would go to the east, go to the north, and to the west, but we should go back to Jackson County from the west. When this people return to the center stake of Zion, they will go from the west." Some members of the church in early Utah were so anxious to return to Jackson County, they were reluctant to make improvements in their homes and lands they assumed they would abandon. President Brigham Young said, "Remarks have been made as to us staying here. I will tell you how long we will stay here. If we live a religion, we will stay here in these mountains forever and forever, worlds without end, and a portion of the priesthood will go and redeem and build up the center stake of Zion." DNC Manual, DNC 103:16, "Who is the man who will lead the saints as Moses led Israel?" Elder John A. Witzo wrote, "Yet the meaning as set forth in the scriptures is very simple. In modern revelation, the president of the church is frequently compared to Moses. Soon after the organization of the church, the Lord said, 'No one shall be appointed to receive commandments and revelations in this church except my servant Joseph Smith, Jr., for he receiveth them even as Moses.'" The Savior said when these tribulations should take place, it should be committed to a man who should be a witness over the whole world. Okay, this is a quote from Joseph Smith. I should probably put that. Joseph Smith said, quote, "The Savior said when these tribulations should take place." So here we are back to this, the time of these tribulations kickstarting. "It should be committed to a man." So this is the man of Moses, right, that was listed above, "who should be a witness over the whole earth. The keys of knowledge, power, and revelation should be revealed to a witness who should hold the testimony to the world. It has always been my province. Just at the time when some men think that I have no right to the keys of the priesthood, just at that time I have the greatest right. All the testimony is that the Lord in the last days will commit the keys of the priesthood to a witness over all people. Has the gospel of the kingdom commenced in the last days? And will God take it from the man until he takes him himself? I have read it precisely as the words flowed from the lips of Jesus Christ. John the Revelator saw an angel flying through the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. The scripture is ready to be fulfilled," so it hasn't yet, "when great wars, famines, pestilence, great distresses, judgments, etc., are ready to be poured out on the inhabitants of the earth. John saw the angel having the holy priesthood who should preach the everlasting gospel to all nations. God had an angel, a special messenger, ordained and prepared for that purpose in the last days. Woe, woe be to that man or set of men who lift up their hands against God and his witness in these last days, for they shall deceive almost the very chosen ones." 3 Nephi, chapter 20, verses 41 through 46. "And then shall a cry go forth, 'Depart ye, go ye out from thence. Touch not that which is unclean. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor by flight, for the Lord will go before you. And the God of Israel shall be your rearward." We've already, now this should be coming together. "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. as many were astonished at thee. His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than any the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them they shall see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Verily, verily, I say unto you, all these things shall surely come, even as the Father hath commanded me. Then shall this covenant, which the Father hath covenanted with his people, be fulfilled. And then shall Jerusalem be inhabited again with my people, and it shall be the land of their inheritance. 3 Nephi 21:8-10. And when that day shall come, it shall come to pass that the king shall shut their mouths. So we're continuing with this thought. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Okay, that again. For in that day for my sake shall the Father work a work which shall be great and marvelous work among them. Okay, this is when the marvelous work and wonder actually begins. And there shall be among them those who will not believe it, although a man shall declare it unto them. But behold, the life of my servant shall be in my hand. Therefore they shall not hurt him, although he shall be marred because of them. Let's take a moment here to confirm who is the, quote, my servant, and what it means when it says that they marred him. Okay? Marred has a footnote. Okay, let's go to that. What is that footnote? That footnote takes you to Doctrine and Covenants 135:1. To seal the testimony of this book in the Book of Mormon, we announce the martyrdom of Joseph Smith, the prophet, and Hiram Smith, the patriarch. They were shot in Carthage Jail on 27th of June, 1844, about 5 o'clock p.m., by an armed mob painted black off from 150 to 200 persons. Hiram was shot first and fell calmly, exclaiming, "I am a dead man." Joseph leaped from the window and was shot dead in the attempt, exclaiming, "O Lord, my God." They were both shot after they were dead in a brutal manner, and both received 4 balls. Once again, we have confirmation that this servant is Joseph Smith Jr., and the marring him referred to as martyrdom. Okay, let's continue to see what the Lord says next. 3 Nephi 21:10, the second half. Yet I will heal him, for I will show unto them that my wisdom is greater than the cunning of the devil. The Lord here says, despite the fact that Joseph Smith has been killed, yet the Lord will heal him. What is the Lord talking about here? Doctrine and Covenants 63, verses 47, 49, 52 through 54. He that is faithful and endures shall overcome the world. He that sendeth up treasures unto the land of Zion shall receive an inheritance in this world, and his work shall follow him, and also a reward in the world to come. Yea, and blessed are the dead that die in the Lord from henceforth. When the Lord shall come, and old things shall pass away, and all things become new, they shall rise from the dead, and shall not die after, and shall receive an inheritance before the Lord in the holy city. Wherefore, for this cause, for this reason, preach the apostles unto the world the resurrection of the dead. These things are the things that ye must look for. And speaking after the manner of the Lord, they are now nigh at hand. And in a time to come, even in the day of the coming of the Son of Man, and until that hour there will be foolish virgins among the wise, and at that hour cometh an entire separation of the righteous and the wicked, and in that day I will send mine angels to pluck out the wicked and cast them into unquenchable fire. So, after Joseph Smith is raised up from the ground as a resurrected ensign to the nations, what happens next? 3 Nephi 21:11-25. Therefore, it shall come to pass that whosoever will not believe in my words, whom Jesus Christ, which the Father shall cause Joseph Smith to bring forth unto the Gentiles, and shall give unto Joseph Smith power that he shall bring forth unto the Gentiles, it shall be done even as Moses said. So here we are again comparing Joseph Smith to Moses. They shall be cut off from among my people who are of the covenant. And my people who are a remnant of Jacob, okay, here are the 10 tribes, shall be among the Gentiles, yea, in the midst of them, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Their hand shall be lifted up upon their adversaries, and all their enemies shall be cut off. Yea, woe be unto the Gentiles, except they repent. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Father, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots, and I will cut off thy cities of thy land, and throw down all thy strongholds, and I will cut off witchcrafts out of thy land, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images I will also cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the works of thy hands, and I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee. So will I destroy thy cities. And it shall come to pass that all lying and deceivings and envyings and strifes and priestcrafts and whoredoms shall be done away. For it shall come to pass, saith the Father, that at that day whosoever will not repent and come unto my beloved Son, them will I cut off from among my people, the house of Israel. We learn about that, and I believe it's 1 Nephi chapter 14, that the great and marvelous work and wonder will be both to their temporal and spiritual destruction. Both. This is when it begins. Continuing 21, and I will execute vengeance and fury upon them, even as upon the heathens, such as they have not heard. But if they will repent and hearken unto my words and harden not their hearts, I will establish my church among them, and which is the church of the firstborn, and they shall come in unto the covenant and be numbered among this, the remnant of Jacob, unto whom I have given this land for their inheritance, and they shall assist my people, the remnant of Jacob, and also as many as the house of Israel as shall come, that they may build a city which shall be called the New Jerusalem. Here we go, we've gone full circle. And they shall, and then shall they assist my people, that they may be gathered in. So this is 144,000 going out and gathering people up, who are scattered upon all the face of the land, in unto New Jerusalem. And then shall the power of heaven come down among them, and I also will be in the midst. And here is Jesus going to New Jerusalem. D&T 110, verse 11. After this vision closed, the heavens were again opened unto us, and Moses appeared before us, and committed unto us the keys to the gathering of Israel from the four parts of the earth, and the leading of the 10 tribes from the land of the north. Doctrine and Covenants 93. Verily, I say unto you, the keys of the kingdom shall never be taken from Joseph Smith. While Joseph Smith art in the world, nor in the world to come. Doctrine and Covenants 1:12-15. Exalt not yourself, rebel not against my servant Joseph, for verily I say unto you, I am with him, and my hand shall be over him, and the keys which I have given unto him, and also to you, I don't know what this is, shall not be taken from him till I come. This is a typo here. And also to you. I'm just going to guess that that even should even be there. Shall not be taken from him till I come. Okay, the hymn that we sing in the church, praise the man who communed with Jehovah, Jesus anointed that prophet and seer, blessed to open the last dispensation, king shall extol him and nations revered. Here's the king shall extol and nations revere. We learned about that in 3 Nephi, right? The king shut in their mouth. Praise to his memory. He died as a martyr. This is the being marred, honored, and blessed. Be his ever great name. Long shall his blood, which is shed by assassins, plead unto heaven while the earth lauds his fame. Great is his glory and endless his priesthood. Ever and ever the keys he will hold. Okay, there it is again. Faithful and truly enter his kingdom, crown in the midst of the prophets of old. That's Adam on Diamond in New Jerusalem. Sacrifice, bring forth the blessing of heaven. Earth must atone for the blood of that man. Wake up the world for the conflict of justice. Millions shall know Brother Joseph again, meaning he's coming back. So what have we learned so far? One, Joseph Smith needs to be resurrected. Two, the restitution of all things pertaining to the celestial law occurs. Three, the 7 years of tribulation start. Great sifting occurs during this time. As that takes place, four, which these two might actually be happening at the same time, right? So you might have the restitution of all things, which kickstarts the 7 years, right? Four, the redemption of Zion takes place. Zion's camp, led by Joseph Smith, will make their march back from Utah to Jackson County from the west. Five, 2 years into the tribulation, which has started already now, the 10 tribes return. They will help build New Jerusalem. 6, 12,000 from each tribe is chosen and purified to make the 144,000, which is a specific number. All of this explicitly taught are to take place in the sixth seal. All of that. New Jerusalem needs to be built. Zion needs to be redeemed. That can't happen without Joseph Smith's resurrection. It cannot happen. Once Zion is established, once New Jerusalem is done, then the 10 tribes can come back. Once the 10 tribes are back, then the 144,000 can be chosen. And those alone are just what it says in Revelation chapter 7. Okay, that's just Revelation chapter 7, which we know has to take place during the sixth seal, according to Doctrine and Covenants chapter 77. If you believe that the seventh seal has been opened in the year 2000, you are of the belief that everything that I've just read from the scriptures and the manuals, either A, has already taken place, and somehow we missed it, or worse, B, that none of it's going to happen, or lastly, and the weirdest choice of all, C, God got confused, and he decided to move some of these things into the seventh seal. These are just the things that we know need to take place in the sixth seal before the opening of the seventh seal. I haven't even gotten into the things that are supposed to happen directly after the opening of the seventh seal. Things that are supposed to happen, which were supposed to have happened during the last 20 years, if you believe that the seal was opened in 2000. Such things, such as the 144,000 going off into the world, bringing people into the Church of the Firstborn in front of nations and kingdoms. This is out in the open. Plagues, pestilence, acts of God, such as the world has never seen, etc. I haven't talked about any of those. And those should have been happening in the last 20 years. I will, however, quickly, since I'm sure this is already over an hour, just touch on one massively important event that should have happened with the opening of the seventh seal. So if you believe that the seventh seal was opened in 2000, this event needed to happen. Joseph Smith, Matthew. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light and the stars shall fall from heaven and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And as I said before, after the tribulation of those days, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. DNC 88, 91 through 95, and all things shall be in commotion, and surely men's hearts shall fail them, for fear shall come upon all people. See? And angels shall fly through the midst of heaven, crying with a loud voice, sounding the trumpet of God, saying, prepare ye, O inhabitants of the earth, for the judgments of God is come. Behold, and lo, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And immediately there shall appear a grand sign in heaven, and all people shall see it together. See how these two flow together, the same event. And another angel shall sound his trump, saying, that great church, the mother of abominations, that made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, that persecuted the saints of God, that shed their blood, she who sitteth upon the many waters and upon the islands of the sea, behold, she is the terrors of the earth. She is bound in bundles. Her bands are made strong. No man can loose them. Therefore, she is ready to be burned. And he shall sound his trump both long and loud, and all nations shall hear it. And there shall be silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. Revelations chapter 8, verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Okay, what have we just read? Okay, according to the scriptures, crystal clear, there is to be, one, the days of tribulation, two, the sign of the Son of Man, three, the opening of the seventh seal, four, silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. Once again, if the seventh seal opened in the year 2000, and the years from 2000 to 2021 have been the years of silence, that means the years of tribulation took place before the year 2000. And at the year 2000, the sign of the Son of Man, which all people shall see together, apparently has been sitting in our sky for the last 20 years. Wrong. Joseph Smith, Matthew 1:36, Matthew 24:30, the sign of the Son of Man. This is what the manual says. The prophet Joseph Smith stated, then will appear one grand sign of the Son of Man in heaven. But what will the world do? They will say it is a planet, a comet, etc. But the Son of Man will come as the sign of the coming of the Son of Man, which will be as the light of the morning coming out of the east. One of Joseph Smith's close associates, Wandel Mace, claimed that the prophet said that this sign would be the return of the city of Enoch. We have a quote from Joseph Smith recorded by Wendell Mace. When Enoch and his city were taken away, a portion of earth was taken and would again be restored. Joseph Smith, when describing the sign, was reported to have said that while the wicked will not understand its true significance, attributing it to a natural cause, the righteous will know what it means. And the coming of the Son of Man will be like the dawning of the morning sun that moves along gradually from the east until it reaches unto the west, in a manner similar to the sun. This sign will be small at first, but will gradually increase until it is all in a blaze, and every eye shall see it. Moses 7:61-66, and the day shall come that the earth shall rest, but before that day, the heaven shall be darkened, and a veil of darkness shall cover the earth, and the heaven shall shake, and also the earth. Okay, we've got all this. We've heard all this. We should know where we're at in the timeline. And great tribulation shall be among the children of men. Okay, we should know the timeline. But my people will I preserve. Okay, we should know the timeline. And righteousness will I send down out of heaven. Okay, who is this? Joseph Smith coming out of heaven? And truth will I send forth out of the earth. Who's this? Is this the 10 tribes? To bear testimony of mine only begotten, his resurrection from the dead. Yea, and also the resurrection of all men, and righteousness and truth will I cause to sweep the earth with as a flood, to gather out mine elect from the four quarters of the earth. Who's that? Who's doing that? Oh, that's right, the 144,000. Unto a place which I shall prepare. So unto the city that's already been made. What's the city? Oh, it's a holy city. That my people may gird up their loins and be looking forth for the time of my coming, the great and dreadful day. For there shall be my tabernacle, and it shall be called Zion, a new Jerusalem. Interesting. There it is. So we got the timeline. It's all chronologically in order here. And the Lord said unto Enoch, then shall thou and all thy city meet them there. And we will receive unto them. So what's happened already? New Jerusalem's already been built, right? Or Joseph's gone down. 10 tribes have come out. The new Jerusalem has been built, and the 144,000 are being sent out and gathering people. All that's already happened. Then the Lord says unto Enoch, then shalt thou and all thy city meet them down there. And we will receive them into our bosoms, and they shall see us, and we will fall upon their necks, and they shall fall upon our necks, and we will kiss each other. And there shall be mine abode, and it shall be Zion, which shall come forth out of all the creations which I have made. And for the space of 1,000 years will the earth shall rest. And it came to pass that Enoch saw the day of the coming of the Son of Man in the last days, to dwell on the earth in righteousness for the space of 1,000 years. But before that day he saw the great tribulations among the wicked, and he also saw the seas, that they were troubled, and men's hearts failing them, looking forth with fear for judgments of the Almighty God, which should come upon the wicked. At or directly before the opening of the seventh seal, the sign of the Son of Man will appear. It will be the city of Enoch returning to the earth. Men who see it will say that it is just a planet or a comet. It will get brighter and brighter the closer it gets to the earth, and will join with the earth at the great and dreadful day, which occurs about the space of half an hour in heaven, after the opening of the seventh seal. If the seventh seal was opened in the year 2000, this quote-unquote planet or comet in the year 2020 should utterly be consuming our sky by now. Ergo, the seventh seal 2000 AD, to be or not to be, not to be.